Okay, we're beginning at the top of Tuvset Vav, I'm an Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara is continuing. This is the issue of what we call the Takanat Ashuk, which is that when a person, when a buyer, which we discussed in the Mishnah, comes along and buys stolen merchandise, the Nignav can come to him and say, listen, that's my stuff. If we have enough evidence that it really is his stuff, he's permitted to take the stolen goods back, but he has to compensate the lokeach, he has to compensate the buyer for that item. And we said the reason for that is takanat ha-shuk, otherwise nobody would want to buy anything because they have no guarantees that they could lose their money anytime. It could be pulled from them if it was hot merchandise, and there's no way for them to clarify this. Now the Gemara deals with an interesting or a nuanced case, which will help us expand or view the takanat ha-shuk. So Zitmar ganav umachar v'achar kach hukara ganav. The ganav steals it, then he sells it, and then we know who the ganav is. I mean that it's not unknown who the ganav is, but we know who actually stole it. Rav mishmid Rabbi Chiya amar hadin im arishon. Rav mishmid Rabbi Chiya says that you go after the ganav himself. If you want to get your money back, you want to get payments, you go after the rishon, and you don't have to, or there's actually two parties here, the rishon being the ganav himself, and the sheni being the lokeach. So now, if the bala bayit, right, it wants to go get his money back, and wants to make his payment, he goes after the ganav. And the lokeach is not his beldin. That's not who he has to, that's not what he has to deal with. So, we don't say, even though the ganav is well known, we don't say to the lokeach, you go back and get your stuff back from the ganav. Give him the stolen merchandise. Give that back to the rightful owner. And you go take care of the ganav. No, we say no. The nignav goes directly to the ganav. No, the other way. That the din is with the second guy, I mean with the lokeach. Right, that the balabayit takes issue with the lokeach. And he takes the money for free. He takes the stolen goods from the lokeach for free. And then we don't have a takanat ha-shuk here. Why don't we have a takanat ha-shuk? Because this is hukara ganav. When do we say there's a takanat ha-shuk? When do we establish a takanat ha-shuk? That's when the lokeach does not know who to go get his money back from. Because then he would lose out. But here where he knows where to go get his money back from, we'll take it away from him. We'll take the nignav. We'll take away the stolen merchandise from the buyer. And then the buyer will go back and have to make a claim against the ganav. But we know who the ganav is, and he knows who he has to go after to get his claim done. Our Rabbi Yosef, locally good. They do not argue. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan here do not argue. Kan lifnei yeush, right? Adin ima sheni. Kan achar yeush, adin ima rishon. Retevayu iskohu the Rav Chisda. Right, this is the principle of Rav Chisda we saw at the beginning of the perek. Rav Chisda made a statement at the beginning of a perek that if it's lifnei yeush, if you have a case of stolen merchandise before yeush, one ganav steals it, the second individual comes along ba'achalo and eats it, right, then you have a right, the nignav has a right to go after either party. Either party you're allowed to go after, both the rishon, the ganav himself, or number two, the achalo, the one who eats it. So over here we have the same thing. We have a case, we have two parties, we have the original ganav, and then we have a lokeach afterwards. So now that's exactly what Rabbi Yosef says. If it's lifnei yeush, like Rabbi Chisda's position, right, then we go after the sheni. We can go after lokeach. Meaning that the nignav can go to lokeach and say, just like Rav Chisda says, that you can go after the one who ate it. Right? Even though he wasn't the original gazlan. So it's over here, you can go after lokeach. Even though he's not the original ganav or gazlan, you can go after lokeach, say, give me my stuff back, and then lokeach will have to deal with the ganav. He'll have to go get his money back from the ganav. Kana achar yeush, and Rav Chisda is then only applied to lifnei yeush. We saw that Rav Chisda explained our Mishnah and the Brisa of Rav Oshia as being after Yeush. After Yeush, Rav Chisda says, then you don't have a right to go after the Sheni anymore. You can only go after the Ganav or Gazlan, the Rishon. And that's two over here. After Yeush, the Din is in the Rishon, just like the position of Rav. The Din is in my Rishon. You can only go after the Ganav or Gazlan. You cannot go after the Lokeach. Right? And that would be the difference or between them. Now, Amar Le'Abaye, they have a low plea. Is that really true? That they do not argue. Right? Can you really make such a statement that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan don't argue? Matnot Kuhuna. What about Matnot Kuhuna? Matnot Kuhuna, here we're talking about the Matnot Kuhuna in the Gvulin, where the Kohen is entitled, from the animal, is entitled to get the Keba and the Chaim, the stomach and the right? Sheep, that's what he's entitled to. There's a matnot that come from any animal that the shech did. So we have a case here. B'nei Yeyush, I mean, matnot kuhuna are like B'nei Yeyush, because the Kohen never gives up hope of getting his matnot back. U'pligim, we see that Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan still argue. Why? It's none. We have a Mishnah. Amar lo, m'chor li me'eha shel para. Right, so sell me the me'ayim, the innards of a cow. Some of the innards of the cow, subsumed or contained within those me'ayim, is the kebah, is the thing that belongs to the Kohen, the matanat HaKohen. V'yabayin matanot, notnan HaKohen, ve'inu menachel lo min adumim. If the Kohen comes to this guy, this buyer, and says, give me my stomach, give me my kebah, I'm entitled, that's a matnot kuhuna, give it to me. He has to give it to him. Ve'inu menachel lo min adumim. He doesn't reduce the price. I mean, he doesn't take off any money for that. On the other hand, if the buyer here had bought it on a weight basis, and he had bought it on a weight basis, then he still has to give the Kohen, he reduces the price, he reduces the amount of money that he pays to the butcher or to the party that he bought it from, because if he bought it on a weight basis, right, and the matnot kuhuna, right, belongs to the Kohen, then you're paying for that weight, right, which was not really weight that you could use, it really belongs to the Kohen. That he could reduce the price for it. On the other hand, if he bought it stam, and he paid money, and contained within it is the matnot kuhuna, then he doesn't have a right to reduce the price, or reduce the money for it, and he's the Kohen goes and grabs it from him and takes it from him. The price did not include the matnot kuhuna, right? That he knew that it was there, and that's not included in the price, right? Whereas if you're weighing it, it's clear that it's included in the price because it weighs, right? You're paying by the pound or the kilo. Right? That's only if he waited for himself. About shakaloa tabak. And then if the butcher, the seller, waited for him, hadinim yitabak. Then he has to go after the tabak. So if that's the case, what do you see from Rav? Rav is saying, we have a Rishon and a Sheni here. Who's the Rishon and who's the Sheni over here? Right, the tabak is the Ganav Rishon. The butcher is the first thief, because he's the one who should have given the matnot to the kuna, or the Kohen, and he doesn't. There's a Ganav Sheni, or Lokeach, which is the Sheni here. The buyer from the butcher is Lokeach Sheni. So in our case, or it seems from the Mishnah, that the Kohen goes after the, right, the Kohen gets to take the money. Where does he take it from? Each time he takes it from the Lokeach. He takes the Matana from the Lokeach. The only question is, which is the Sheni, he takes the Matana from the Sheni. The only question is whether the Lokeach has recourse against the butcher or not. That was the way Mishnah spoke. Rav comes along and says, wait a minute. Our Mishnah is only talking about where he himself weighed the item, where he did the weighing. But if the butcher did the weighing, then the Kohen can go back to the butcher and claim his money. Meaning that he doesn't go after the Lokeach, he goes after the butcher for cheating him, and he says, you owe me a kebah. Give me the money from the kebah. He goes directly to the butcher. So you see, what does Rav say? Rav says you go back to the Rishon. The Mishnah says Sheni. Rav says Rishon. And Rav is saying Rishon, I mean, he's qualifying the Mishnah. He said the Mishnah is talking about Sheni and his unique case. But normally it would be that you can go back to the Rishon, you go back to the Tabak. And Rav is saying that even in a case of Lifnei Yeyush. Right? Rav Yosef just said before that Lifnei Yeyush, everybody agrees, right, that it didn't have a Sheni, that you go after the second party over here. Who's the second party over here? The buyer, not the butcher. And yet Rav is saying, demanding you go after the butcher. But there's no problem. Ema af din im hatabach. Not that it's solely with the tabach, but you have a choice. You can go either after the tabach, or you can go after the lokeach. That's the din of Rokhista. Rokhista's din is, go after either party. So that's what he's saying. Rav says, mao de tema, what would I have thought? Ema snot kuna nigzalot. You can't steal by the matnot kuna, huh? And since you can't steal the matnot kuna, they're always in the possession of the Kohen, quote unquote. They never leave the possession of the Kohen. And therefore, you cannot go after the tabak. You have to go after whoever has them, because that's where they are. Wherever they are, that's yours. That's where it belongs to the Kohen. Kamash Malan, that they are an exilet. And therefore, the tabak is responsible to the Kohen to go after the tabak. The demand is matnos kuna, to go after the first kazvan to get his money back. And Rashi explains why is it that you would think matnos kuna and agnik zelot, because the kinyan is so strong. Why is the kinyan so strong? Because it was given to him by Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Baruch Hu gifted it to the Kohen, right? And therefore, mikovko kovko kaati. Wherever they are, they belong to the Kohen. So there, it doesn't matter. He has to go after the Lokeach, because that's their his. So Kama Shulman, no, that they are stolen, and the Tabach did the stealing. If the Tabach does the stealing, you can go after the Tabach as well. Kama says, Ule Baye, Damar Plige, but my Plige. According to Baye, he says their machlokas exists both in Yehush and Achar Yehush. What is their machlokas about? So Gemara says, with Rav Chisda, that's exactly what they argue about, whether the din of Rav Chisda applies or not. So the focus between them will be, do you have the din of Rav Chisda, and you can go after either party. I mean, that's the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you can go even after the Sheni. You can even go after the Sheni, is because Rav Chisda says that when you have, right, a machlokas, or when you have a Lifnei Yehush, you can go after either party, and that's Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to go after the Sheni. On the other hand, Rav will say, no, I don't know the Rav Chisda, right, that I can only go after the Rishon, I can only have to go after the original Gadlan. In that case, they'll argue about the Snei Yehush, and in the position of Rav Chisda, the Rav doesn't have Rav Chisda, and Rav Yochanan does. Rav Zidamar, Kigoshine, Ashua, Bali. No, the case, Machlokes is even after, is only after Yehush, right, Biyad, Zilkeach. Right, so if it's an actual bayim biyad lokeach veloni tishu biyad ganav, there was yeush from the nignav. The person who was stolen, the bala bayis, gave up hope, but he didn't give up hope when it was in the hands of the first ganav. He only gave up hope in the hands of the second ganav. Uhapligin is what they argue about. Marzaver yeush v'akachach shinarishut kani. Right, that when you have yeush and then shinarishut, then it works. Shinarishut v'akachach yeush lo kani. Where if you have it the other way around, where the Shinu Rishut happens first, and then only then you have Yayush, Lo Kani, it doesn't work. Marzava Lo Shna, doesn't matter either way. So we'll get to this in Bava Metzia. This might relate to what's called Yayush Shalom Idat, right, where a person picks up in a Beida, and then the Balim only have Yayush afterwards. Right, you could see similarities in this case. You could see differences in this instance. So we'll defer discussing that issue until there. Papa Amar. Rav Papa says, "Beglima, the kuliyama lo pligei dehadal mare." I'm sorry. When it comes to a glima, when it comes to the object, right? It's clear that it goes back to the original object. V'hocha basu bo tkanat ashuk. Okay. Question here is, did they establish tanakat ashuk? Rav mishmeder v'chiyamar dinam rishon, that the din is with the first guy, dina de lokeya, the dishko gune gazuzem miganav. Right, velo atzobo tekanat ashuk. Right, dinan rishon is not that the balabait or the nignav goes after the rishon, meaning the first ganav, but rather the lokeach is a dinan rishon. His din is to go after the ganav himself, because there is no tekanat ashuk. There's no tekanat ashuk. Then the original owner goes to the buyer and says, "Give me my stuff back. You have hot merchandise. I want it back." And the lokeach, the buyer, has to go back after the ganav. What does it mean, a din and a sheni? Din the lokeach lishko mi balabait. The din and the sheni means that the second guy, meaning the lokeach, has a right to take his money from the balabait. And then, that's the shuk, and the balabait will have to go after the ganav. So the Gemara says, okay, and Rashi points that over here. But, okay, why does that... What does that make a difference? I mean, that either way, the lokeach is getting compensated. It's just a question of who he's getting compensated from. Is he getting compensated from the balabait, or is he getting compensated from the ganav? He's not going to lose money here. So what's the difference that there is? That's kind of the shuk. Right, so one is, maybe one is easier than the other to get the money out of. Rashi says, over here, he says, V'kash mekomakom d'mei shokyo, ma'li shum takana, ma'li shum tanat, la'ba d'verim d'idiyat. In the end, he gets his money back. Right, who cares if it's because it's kind of the shuk? Or it's because he says, you know, you're not my party. You're not the one I want to do things. He says, Nafkamina echad the gazal ubakar achal below damim. Nafkamina is if you go ahead, what? And it's stolen. And then another person takes it without paying for it, meaning that he somehow eats it without paying for it. Darmina Karapista. But Mashani Noach, woman are shown, the question of the Balabites can go after the Shani now, get his stuff back. And then again, what you were just saying, which is no comment, which one is it easier to get it back from? I mean that if it's easier to get it from the second guy, he can go grab it from the second guy, and then the second guy will have to go and deal with
it. The second guy consumed it.
Right. He has no recourse. No, but that's enough to pay for him. Meaning that he's a ganav. He's a ganav. Yeah, we'll make him pay up. And say you have to pay up. So in that case, which is basically the case of Rav Chisda, the beginning of the Perek, doesn't have a right. Well, Perek does not have a right to say lav bal devarim, that you're not my bal devarim. I am. Just that you have to compensate him. That's the kind of the shuk. I do have a right to collect from you. I just have to compensate you in an area where you weren't expending any money. And you didn't lose any money, then I can just go after you and say, give me my stuff back, and you won't get compensated because you didn't have any right to compensation in that. Because you didn't spend any money.
The buyer consumed it.
That he wants to compensate because you paid for it. But the Rashi's case is where he didn't pay for it. He just took it, he ate it, then he never paid for it. In that instance, the Baal Bayit could say, pay me my money. That's what you took. But I don't have to compensate you because you didn't lose any money. You took something that wasn't yours, you never paid for, and then you got hana out of it. You got that benefit. Alright, now just to summarize quickly, right, to go over the sugya, just so we don't, all the balls in the air here, just to get it down pat. We have a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, where you have, a buyer of hot merchandise, right? A buyer of hot merchandise. The buyer buys the hot merchandise, and now we know who the ganav is. So both parties, we're aware of both parties now. We know who the buyer, we know who holds the hot merchandise, and we know who stole it. So really it's the question, or Rav and Rabbi Yochanan state their opinion. Rav says his opinion is, go after the Rishon, go after the Ganav. Right, the person who was stolen from him gets to go back and get it from the Ganav. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, go after the, right, go after, who do you go after? You go after the little chaos, go after the buyer. Right, get it from the buyer. So the Gemara says, wants to suggest, right, that's what it sounds like, depends, right, if you hold it, they hold like Rav Chisda. It's not clear, but it's funny that the Gemara just says it didn't my Shani, but if you really hold the Brachisa, it means that you really can go after either one. But it seems like you go after Lokeach because he actually has the merchandise. That's what you want to do. You want to get your stuff back. So you go after Lokeach because that's where your stuff is.
But you think you can always go after the
guy. Right. I would assume that is the case. Alright, now we have two parties here. Rav says go after the Ganav, and Rabbi Yochanan says go after the Lokeach. So now we have Otsim of Yossi says, you know what, they're not arguing. They're really not arguing. They're talking about different instances, different cases. In one case, it's Lifnei Yeush. In one case, it's Achar Yeush. We had a principle of this established at the beginning of Perek, that when you are before Yeush, you have a right, that's what Shaul was just saying, you have a right to go after either party. You have to go after the Ganav, and you can go after the Lokeach. You have Achar Yeush, then you can only go after the Ganav. That's exactly the difference between them. Rav says, go after the Ganav only because that's after Yeush. The Yochanan said you can go after the buyer because that was the Nei Yush. Both parties are parties to the Gezel, in a sense, and you can go after them. That's Rabbi Yosef, that was the position of Rabbi Yosef, because he says they're not arguing. Abayi comes along and says, no way, that's not true. They definitely are arguing because I have a case by Matnos Kuhuna where Rav clearly states his opinion. Rav states his opinion by Matnos Kuhuna that you can still go after the Zin and Aftabah, that you have to go after the Rishon. You have to go over the first party, and that's the case that it's Nei Yush. It's before Yayush, and you're still going after the first party, and I'm saying go after the first party. Rabbi Yosef says, no, don't worry about that. That when he said, after the tabach, you can even go after the tabach, and the chiddush there is that the tabach is not considered to be a non-entity here, because we say that the matnos kahuna belongs to the coin wherever they are, and he just goes and takes them. Nothing to do with who took them, because you can't steal them. Matron, if you can steal them, and you can even go after the tabach, and that's what the Rav is saying. So we have no proof here, according to Rabbi Yosef. Now, Abaye says they do argue. What are they arguing about according to Abaye? Abaye says they're arguing about Rav Chisda. Exactly that. Whether Rav Chisda applies or not. The case between Yayush. The case before Yayush. Rav says, no Rav Chisda. No Rav Chisda, you can only go after who? You can only go after the original Ganav. That's who you can go after. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, there is Rav Chisda that can go even after the second party. I can even go after the Lokeach. Rav Chisda says, no. The case, the Machlokes here is after Yayush. If after Yayush, everybody has Rav Chisda. If everybody, after Yayush, and everybody has Rav Chisda, that means what? That you can only go after the, after Yayush. According to Rav Chisda, you can only go after the Rishon. You can only go after the Ganav, the original buyer. So what's the machlokas over here? Depends where the Yayush happened. The Yehush happened with the Balim, right? But Yad Lokeach. The Yehush happened with the when the buyer had it, but not when the Ganav had it. So really, it's a case of Lishnei Yehush. The case of Lishnei Yehush, going to Revzid, then Revzid does apply, you can go after either party. What's the question over here? The question over here is Yehush and Shinei Rishut. How does Yehush and Shinei Rishut work? Does it have to be specifically in that order? Yehush, then Shinei Rishut. If you have Yehush and Shinei Rishut, then it's clear that the Lokeach, the buyer, has nothing to do with the Nignav anymore because it's left in possession, he's Konen, it's nothing to talk about, you can only go after the first party, the original Ganav. Over here, we have the opposite. We have Shinei Rishut, then Yehush. The Shinei Rishut and then Yehush work to create a Kinyan. If it works to create a Kinyan, then you can only, what, go after the first party, the Ganav? That is Rav's position. On the other hand, if you believe that even Shinei Rishut and then Yehush works, does not work, right? If you believe it does not work, right, when it's Yehush and then Shinei Rishut and then Yehush, then you can even go after the second party, and that'll be the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, that's Rav's position. The last position is Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Rizda is talking about Sakana Tashuk. And the Rishon and the Sheni here are not about, we're not referencing who the Balabait goes after, but we're referencing who the Lokeach goes after. Right? Who does the Lokeach go after? That's what Rav Papa says. Who does the buyer get his money from? So that's the question here. Rav says the buyer gets his money from the Rishon. He goes back to the Ganav. He has to go back to the original Ganav and get his money. That means there is no Sakana Tashuk. Meaning that the Balabait comes and says, give me my stolen goods back. And the buyer has to go back and get some Ganav from the Rishon. On the other hand, if we say there is Sakana Tashuk, then when we say Sheni, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, Sheni means that the second guy gets his money right away. He says to the Balabait, you want to take your stuff? You pay me. And then you go figure it out with the Ganav. And that's my focus here, whether there is Sakana Tashuk or not Sakana Tashuk. Right, and that's what we're up to in the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this because what Rav Papa established is that Rav does not hold up Sakana Tashuk. And that's what Gemara says, is that really true? So Gemara says, Rav, what's up, Rav? Lo what's up, both Sakana Tashuk? Does Rav really hold there's no such concept as Sakana Tashuk? Rav Huna, Talmidei to Rav. Huna is the Talmid of Rav. Hava, V'chanan Bisha Ganav Glima. There's a case where Hanan Bisha, who we had before in the Sechta, he was the one by who hit the ear of his friend, made the noise, and it was Kai the Knack. And he didn't have change for him, so he hit him again, so he would get the, he had only had to pay the coin once. Right? So Ganav Lima stole the, stole a coat, Bizabdom. And then he sold it to another party. He stole a coat, and then he sold it off. Azaz came to Rav Huna. So the Nignav came to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna, so we have a Hukara Ganav. We know who the Ganav is. It's Hanan Bisha. And we have a hot item that has been bought by a buyer. Amalei Lau Gavra Zil Shari Avitech. He says to this individual, he says, go open up your mashkon, meaning that you have to redeem the item from this individual. What does that mean, redeem the item? It means you have to pay him. That sounds like there is Sakanat Hashuk. That means that the Nignav goes back to, who is it? Nignav goes back to the buyer and he says, give me my stuff. He says, I have to pay him. I want to say, pay him. If you pay him, you can get your stuff back. Somebody says, Shiny Kanabisha, Kaven Delekat Lishlumi Minei Kalo Hukar Dami. Kanabisha is different. Why? Kanabisha, what's the point of Hukar Ganav? Hukar Ganav is that you as the owner of the item can say to the Lokeach, give me my stuff back, and you go get it from the Ganav. Get your money back from the Ganav. Why can you say to him, go get your money back from the Ganav? Because you take him to Zin and you'll get your money back. What happens if there's no possibility of getting the money back from the Ganav? That even though Hukar Ganav, there's no possibility of getting money. Why? Because he's a strong man. He's a mafia guy. Hanan Bisha does not go to court. He's not going to pay. Then we say that to the Lokeach. We can't say to the Lokeach, I'm taking my stuff back. Go get it from the Ganav. He can't get it from the Ganav. There's no way he can get it from the Ganav. In that case, we're not going to take it away from the Lokeach and say, you lose. Right? That we're not going to say. So Amar Rava, wait a minute. Is that really true? Im Ganav Nefusamu Loat, I mean, Amar Rava. Ganav Nefusamu Loat Sabo Sakanat Hashuk. If he's a well-known Ganav, then there is a no Sakanat Hashuk. I mean that we never make a Sakanat Hashuk when there is a well-known Ganav. Why? That means if you're buying from him, it's buyer beware. I mean that if you're willing to buy from a well-known Ganav, you can assume that you're buying stolen merchandise. Buying stolen merchandise, it's your problem, not the Balabai's problem. So why are we allowing, why are we forcing this Balabai to pay this individual back from Hanan Bisha? Baha, Hanan Bisha is a Mekur Samhava. His name was Hanan Bisha for no reason. Right, he was well known as a, right, not well known as a less than seller character over here. And therefore, why are you entitled to payment over here? But Zabot Takana Tashuk, and nevertheless, we're allowing the Lokeach to get his money. So when it says, Neidim Mufutam Le Bishuta, he was well known for his bad character. Like, you knew Vuta, Lo Mufutam. When it came to theft, he was not well known for theft. I mean, he was well known for his bad acts or his bad character traits, but he wasn't well known for a theft, and therefore the person who bought it from him did not have to worry about it being a stolen or a hot item. Since he didn't have to worry about it, we made a takana to shuk here, but a takana to shuk because to protect the buyer, where the buyer had no recourse to the original ganav. The original ganav, according to Rav, had recourse to go back to ganav, then we wouldn't have a takana to shuk. So Rav, when we modified Rav's idea that there is no takana to shuk, that's not a blanket statement, that there's no takana to shuk. There's no takana to shuk when the lokeach can go back to the ganav. But if the lokeach cannot go back to the ganav, either because it's shalohu kara ganav, or because the ganav is a strong guy and will not pay at all, then over there is a takana to shuk according to Rav, and you will have to pay for the item.
From this last line, it seems that the reason of Rav's hook is because the buyer knows he's buying hot stuff, and it's kind of like a knack. But it seemed that before this maisa, one could have thought that...
No, that's an addition. That's an additional item over here. That was an explanation of why over here, there is takana to shuk. Why is there takana to shuk?
Why should it be punished? He had no idea.
Right. In general, all hukar ganav, the whole sugi hukar ganav is after he bought it. It's not that if he knew it was a hot item before he bought it, I think they're big questions whether they're taken out the shuk. All these cases are hukar ganav after the purchase he finds out about it.
So then this last reason doesn't make any
sense. No, this last reason is not a reason. It's trying to explain how could Rav Hopkin this way. When we explain Rav. We said we differentiate between Rav. Rav says taken out the shuk does not apply. There's an exception when taken out the shuk does apply is when he can't extract it from the ganav. Because he's a strong man. Right, says if he's a strong man, he can't extract from the ganav. Why is the buyer protected over here? He's buying hot merchandise. Buying hot merchandise, you should get nothing. Mara's answer is that Hanan Bishu was different because Hanan Bishu was not known as a ganav. Therefore, he bought from someone who ended up that he can't extract money from, but he wasn't known as a ganav. So it's not the side point to explaining the differential in Rav. That's another show. Right now, Itmar ganav. All right, person stole. Uparabe chuvo, and then he takes the stolen item and pays back a loan with it. Ganav uparabe chuvo, he takes the stolen item and he pays back his debt, his credit at the store. Lo asabo takana tashuk. There is no takana tashuk. Why? Dimre, the victim, the balabait who suffered it, can say to him, Lo adai tadahanu yavidle mide. You lent this guy money, not based on this object. This object was not in the picture when you lent him money. You trusted him, and you lent him money independent of this item. When I take this item back, you're no worse than you were before. I get my stuff back, and you still have a loan outstanding to this guy, which was the original position that you had beforehand. So I haven't caused you any loss. It's not like a lokeach, a buyer who comes on extended money, right? And now he's out the money because he has to go now and try to extract it from the ganav, that is the ganav of shuk. That's a different thing, right? Here, when you pay the loan back with a stolen item, if I take my stolen item back, you're no worse than you were before. You haven't had any loan. That's what the situation was before he gave you the stolen item. So I'm entitled to take my stolen item back, and there is no kana kashuk. I don't have to compensate you for that. Okay, mashkanta shavi matan v'meya. What happens if he uses a stolen item as a mashkon, right? Then if he uses a stolen item as a mashkon, and the mashkon's worth 200, and he lends him 100 on that mashkon. Somebody lends him 100 shekel on the stolen mashkom, then there is a takanat shuk over there because now he's worth. He lent him the money relying on this mashkom. Now, if the Baal Bayit comes and rips this mashkom back, takes this mashkom back, the lender is in a worse position now. Because before he had collateral, now he has nothing. Right? And it's clear that he's relying on the collateral. Why? Because he was only willing to lend him at a 50% rate. But he's only willing to lend him at 50% of the value of the mashkom. Right? On the other hand, if he lent him beyond the mashkon, if he lent him at the value of the mashkon, we're going to see in a second, shaveh b'shaveh. If he has a mashkon that's worth 100, and he lends him 100 on the mashkon, then we say, amei marmar lo asoba tukana tashuk. There is no tukana tashuk. Why? Nobody lends 100% of the value. Right? Meaning that's right at a house. If you have a house, you can't mortgage 100% of the value of the house. Right? If you do, then you get into trouble. That's what's happening in the United States now. If you mortgage, right? If you lend too much against the collateral, right, then that's not, means that you don't really believe that the collateral is what you're getting paid back with. It means that you believe the person can pay you the money back. That's what a Maimara says. A Maimara says that you're, when you're already lending at that rate, It means the collateral is irrelevant to you. If the collateral is irrelevant to you, then it should be irrelevant whether they're gonna, when the Baal Bayit comes and takes it back. It should make no difference. It means that you really trusted the guy to pay you. Because if you're lending at that high a rate, there's usually no way that anybody lends against collateral at a equal 100%. They lend at a discount to the collateral itself. Because they want to be sure that they get their money back. This does not ensure. It means that you trust the person. There's no tekanat hashuk. Rajutra says, even in this case, as long as it's mashkon there, there is a tekanat hashuk because maybe partially relied on it. It gave him some feeling of security. Whatever it is, he relied on it. Zavina shaveh b'shaveh. Person buys the merchandise. Elokeach buys it at the market value. Then he's protected. Right? Shaveh mata mea b'matan. What happens if a guy overpays for the item? He paid 200 for a 100 item. The guy's out of luck here. Why is he out of luck? He can't even get his first 100 here. Right? Because this guy is paying, just like he gave the second 100 as a gift, he gave the first 100 as a gift. This guy is buying, he's giving money away. You know, the object's not worth it. It's clearly gifting money to the ganav. He's gifting the money. Let's say the whole thing's a gift. Let him go after the ganav himself. Why should the Baal HaBayit be out this money if he's overpaying for it? Rav Amar, no, it's about the ganav teshuk. Right? That people buy things, even more expensive things. Right, meaning that everything's subjective, prices move. The fact that he paid more for it doesn't mean that he should be out the money over here. So I hope it's a kulu. A lock on all of these items is asa bo takana tashuk. There is a takana tashuk. Avarmi ganavu parab kulu, ganavu parab etifo. Except for the case of where they use the item, the stolen item, to pay back the creditor, because in that case it's a very good claim. You lent him the money beforehand, you trust him, it had nothing to do with his object. It's nothing to do with this object, and when I take the object back, you're no worse than you did when you started off. You're in no worse position, and therefore there is no takana teshuk. Tosfos points out over here when we say Allah is asobah takana teshuk. That's only he's saying in the issues where there's a machlokas amoraim that we say there's a takana teshuk. But that's when the amei marazutra, Rav and Rav Sheshet. So that's takalacha. But the milk of Rava, like before, which says that when the ganav mufrasam, there's no takana teshuk. That doesn't mean we say Allah is takana teshuk. There is a takana teshuk even when you're buying clearly stolen a hot item. That's not the case. This sack is about the unsolved or the machlokot that we just ran through over here.
It's interesting that they skipped the step of takanat hashuk at market rate. Mark's saying it's interesting that they didn't think that you have to pay the market price.
Why isn't there an in between case? Right.
And the other thing is because what's the kind of shook?
Right.
Guard the
market price.
The market
right.
is alive and well.
Right. So you would say, why not give him market price, and then he'll have to go back to the other.
Because if you only have to pay half, you know, what the market price is,
right.
You're not really safeguarding the liquidity of the market.
Right, because buyers will not want to pay more. Right. I mean, you are in part, you say, look, you have protection of the market price. If you want to overpay, that's a personal decision.
Yeah,
right.
But we're experiencing that now.
Right. I agree with you. That's right, there is no middle stance. Over here. We're going to see in a second in the Gemara, but there's an interesting case. Avime bar Nazi Hamud Ravina. the father-in-law of Ina, of a Mesik Bahu Gabra Zuze. He was a creditor for 4 Zuz. Ganav Glima, this guy, the debtor, stole a coat. Achin Yale, right, he brought it to him. Osve Arba Zuze Achwine, he lent him an additional 4. He paid him, he gave him the coat, and then he paid him an additional. So Bukar Ganav, and after it, they find out who the Ganav is, they find out that there's a problem over here. Ata the Kamei de Ravina, so they came before Ravina, Amar. Says, Kamai Ganabu Farabu Chovo. The first loan that you had outstanding is a loan that you made independent of the Mashkon. And therefore, when he gives you the item back, it shouldn't matter. If he takes it back, you're in no worse position. Below Bai makes it play, below Mide. Right? You don't have to give him anything. You can take the money, you can take the coat, and he can say, too bad. On the other hand, Hanakar Bezuze Yachrine, the second loan that he made, Shaku Bezuze. Then Bahadagli made. Then the buyer, the original owner, the owner of the coat, has to pay. Right. He has to pay Avime Barnazi. He has to pay him for Zuz because he lent based on that mashkon. He lent against that mashkon. So since he lent against that mashkon, that's different than the first case. In the first case, he lent without a mashkon. Guy comes and pays him back with the coat. There's no relevance. The coat is independent. The two transactions are independent. Baal HaBayit can come and take it without compensation. On the other hand, the fact that he had the coat now and he lent an additional 4 Zuz, that's clearly because he has collateral now. He has the glima in his hand. Since he has the glima in his hand, right, he lends him additional 4. He's lending on the stolen item.
How is that collateral?
It's the guy who uses it to pay his debt. Oh, so very good. So, Matzki Flah, Rav Kohen. Dilma, glima bahani zuze kamayi aven yale. Who says he's lending him on the collateral here? Let's say that the coat, like Shaul just said, let's say the coat is payment. He repaid the first loan. And now, ganavu for Rabbi Chova, ganavu for Rabbi Akiva, Barba Zuzay Batrai, and the second Arba Zuzay Batrai, is a loan on trust, just like the first loan was. Meaning that he had two separate transactions. He had a first loan, he got paid back with his glima, and now he lends him a second for his goods on trust. Nothing to do with the mashkon. It's a new loan that he started out here. Just like your suggestion, Joe, who says that the glima is the mashkon for the second loan, the glima could be the payment for the first loan, and then the second loan acts just like the first loan, which is that he lends him on trust, without any collateral. If that's the case, then you can't demand any payments from him. The guy, the Baal Bais, can come take the item back, and there's nothing to talk about. So Yigalgo Milsa Matu L'Kamei to Rabbi Bo. The case world, you know, made its way to Rabbi Bo. Amar Hilchas to Rabbi Kohen. The Halacha is like Rabbi Kohen, that you can't, that it, the second loan is a trust loan just like the first loan, and the Baal Bais can come and take his clean back, and the lender, the creditor, Vime Barnazi over here is out of luck. He's got his money back from the person he lent it to the Ganav, who he lent his money. Right, he lent his money to. Right. Narsha. Guy Narsha, Ganav Safra, stole a safer, some starter safer. Zavne the Popana, right? The Tamna Zude. He sells his Popana for 80. As a Popana, Popana was.
These are localities. A person from.
Right, person from, right? Narsha, Popana, the guy from Popana. Right, we've had these places earlier. So, as a Popana, Zavne the Bar, Makuza. Right, Popana took this and sold it to a person from Makuza, Bemevich and Zude for 120. So who got Ganav? Then they find out there's a Ganav. This guy Narsha was the Ganav. I'm Rabbi Lizel Mari the Safa, the owner of the book, should go. The eyes of all the Bar Mechuzah Tamnan Zuzet. She paid 80 to the Bar Mechuzah. The Shakel Safa and take it back. All the Bar Mechuzah, the Shakel Arbim and Papuna. And the Bar Mechuzah should go back to Papuna and get his 40 out of Papuna, who overcharged him. So this is basically the case of what three you were suggesting before. Maybe there's this in between case where there should be a market price. You know, say the market price is 80, and now this last guy, the original owner, can go to the B'nai Mechuzah, bought it above market, and say, listen, here's the 80, this is the 80, this is the market price, you get that back. What you paid above market, you go get that back from Papuna.
Or you could explain that Rava's reasoning here is that Takanat HaShuk only applies to the first buyer. It's the relationship between the first buyer and the Ganav. That establishes the price protection for that buyer as well as any other subsequent buyer, because Takanat HaShuk is only in relationship to the transaction that transpired between the Ganav and the first buyer. So in this case, the first buyer paid 80. That becomes the price protection level for himself as well as any other subsequent buyer. So when the second buyer comes and pays 120 for it, he's entitled, he gets the rights that the first buyer had in Takanat HaShuk of the price protection of the 80, but he won't get anything in excess of that. The excess amount will have to go back to the Ganav and extract that 40 from the Ganav himself, but the 80, he gets the same right that the first buyer had, will be passed along to the second buyer, but nothing in excess of that, because the price level for price protection is set by the first buyer and his transaction with the Ganav.
Now, Hashta Lokeach Mi Ganav Atzafo Tekanat Ashuk. Wait a minute. When a buyer, a single buyer, who has at least a connection to the Ganav, he gets protection of the Tekanat Ashuk. Certainly a buyer from a buyer where you're already far removed from the Ganav, there should be Tekanat Ashuk, which should protect him. You can't come just and take stuff out of it without compensating for it. Elama Rabba says it didn't like this. Lizel Mari Tekamari, Lizel Mari Mechuzah, Meav Yashrim Zuzay. No, the guy wants to get it back. The owner goes back to the Bar Mechuzah, bought it, and gives him 120, the full value. Right, like the previous thing, if you want to keep the shuk liquid, you got to pay whatever value was expended on the item. Then, if the shuk is safra, the lizel marry the safra, and the owner of the safra, v'lishko arba avmi popana, v'tamnan mi narsha. He has to go get 40, which is the profit that popana made, and 80 from narsha, from the narshait, because that was what he got. I mean, that's the profit he makes, so he has to go make the claim down from there. That was up to the Pesach Halacha that we had before. But the Halacha is that there is Takanat HaShuk. If there is Takanat HaShuk, you have to pay. Even if you overpaid, you pay the full value. So the owner of the Sefer pays 120 to the final buyer. And then his recourse is against the party who made money along the way. Papuna made 80 off of it, so he goes after him for the 80. Pavan made 40, so he goes after him for that, and Arsha made 80, so he goes after him for that 80. Whoever made a profit, he goes after them to get a better. So this is the Mishnah we mentioned yesterday to deal with Rabbi Yochanan ben Brukkah's statement, right? This guy comes with his chavit of yayin, this guy's kadosh shel dvash, nitzaka chavit shel dvash. The dvash all of a sudden gets a hole in it and starts to leak. Shafak says, you know, this guy goes, dumps his wine out, right? He feels his dvash was so full, and he saves the honey for the other guy in it. Ain lo elis karot. He's only entitled to claim his schar. What is schar here? It's the schar of the kli, the use of his kli, plus his schar as a poel of his item. He does not have a right to collect his wine here. That was his choice, right? He lost out. He made his own decision to dump his wine. He can get compensated for what he did, the work he did, and for lending out his kli, but he can't get compensated for the wine. V'yamar, if he makes a tonight beforehand, atzil et shalchav, it doesn't need to make shali, hayav dikeno. If he makes it explicit, he says, I'm going to dump my wine and you're going to pay me for the wine in order to save your dvash, then we say, yes, go ahead, and he has to pay him the wine. Shetaf nachal chamaro v'chamor chavero. A river overflows and it pulls away, hits chamor and it's chamor chavero. Shalo yafim manev, shal chavero matayim. This is worth 100, his friend is worth 200. V'niach zeh shalo, v'tzil et shal chavero. This guy says, you know what, I'll get the 201 and I'll leave mine to go down the drain. Ein lo elos karo. Again, that he can make the decision, but he doesn't get compensated for his chamor that he lost. He just gets paid as a koel who works, right, to save another person's object. So he'll get compensated for the work that he did or the efforts that he made. B'mamarlo, again, if he makes it explicit tonight, ani atzil et shalchava, tazdinli et shali, I'll save yours, and out of that you'll pay me for mine, then chayav litenlo, then you have to compensate him for it. So the stam case is that, what, that when you do it and you give it away, that it's a stam goes the ibud, and you don't get compensated for the stuff that you dump. We dealt with reconciling that with Rabbi Yochanan ben Brukkah, right, how to deal with that. So we said that Tosfos was back on payoff on that, dealt with either that he argues on this Mishnah, right, that's one possibility, that he argues Rabbi Shmuel ben Brukkah, either argues on this Mishnah, or to reconcile it, Tosfos said there's a difference in the case. The case is whether Rabbi Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brukkah is saying in a case where you have a right, the owner of the Dvash has a right to demand of the Yain to do it. That's the case by Rabbi Yishmael. Our Mishnah Tanya case where the Yain, the guy of the Yain, does it voluntarily. Alright, Vamai. So where it says, why is he Chayav? Lemele, Metzkeira, Kazachina. He says, well, first of all, why don't we just say, right, that the guy owns the Dvash now? The Dvash is going to be Yibud. It's going to be worthless now. I come and I save it. It's like I'm getting an Aveda. Picking up something from Hefker. It should be mine now, totally. Why should I be able to get my wine, or the price of my wine out of the Tavash? I should even own the whole Tavash here. It should be all mine. Right? So why not? Milo Tanya. Don't we have a bright story? Shayata own Kadei Yain Kadei Shemen. He's carrying along all these barrels of wine and oil. Rashi Mish Tabros. He sees that they're beginning to crack and break. Lomar Harizet Truma Matzer Al Peiro Shemsle B'Tok Beiti. Shouldn't say, oh, you know what, I need to take truma off of my fruits in my house. This will all be the truma, because he knows it's all going falling on the floor now. So why should I lose my stuff? Let's make it the truma that I lose. Amar lo amar kum. If he does that, it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. It's not truma. Why? Because it's halakhli ibud. If it's halakhli ibud, if it's going to be a zero, that means that it's worth the zero. If it's going to be worth zero, you can't make it into truma. So do over here. If the bash is going to ibud, right, it should be worthless. If it's worthless, then when he comes and saves it, he should be able to keep it. I mean, keep the Dvash. You could get his Yayin out of it. You should be able to keep all the Dvash over here. Where it says, Tadamar, Viribia, our case in the Mishnah, Kshakal Beit Abad Karuchalel. He has a basket from the Beit Abad that is wrapped around it. So therefore, the basket will cause the honey or the Dvash to leak out slowly. It's not like a kaz that's holding it tightly. But the Dvash will leak through the cracks in the basket, but it will slow the process of the leakage. So he'll be able to save a lot of it for some of it. But it won't all go to Ibud. There's only a small loss that will be here, and he saves on that small loss. So Mar says, "V'amar lo markum." Is it really true? This price that we just brought down, when something's halakhli ibud, right? That is, when you can't make it into trumah. A person's coming back from a trip, and he has money in his hands, but not connect go, and he's got somebody standing opposite him, about to rob him. Lo yamar eiferut sheishli b'tok beitim uchololim amed ma'utolav. He has ma'isu sheni attack. You know what? I'm making this mouse into Masu Sheni. So I won't lose my money. It'll just be Masu Sheni that he takes away. So he says, Via Mamar, he shouldn't do this. Via Mamar, if he does it, Dvarav Kayamim. It works. So what do you see over here? It's a lately Ibud. This guy's about to steal the money from him, and yet you're allowed to make this into Masu Sheni. So why does this price allow it? Bidiyavid. And the price before says, even Bidiyavid, it doesn't work. It says, Akamai Skina, Bishiachol Atil. Because he could save it. He could save the money. I said, Zimshiachal Atil, that's Chila, Amaylo. Right? So why will I tell you, Mark? Why can't he do it Lechat Chila? If he can save it, let him do it, let him do it Lechat Chila. But it says, Zimshiachal Atil, he's Eitel Chak. He could save it, maybe, there's a chance that he could save it. It's not clear that he could save it, but maybe there's an outside chance that he could save it. Since there's an outside chance that he could save it, that means that there is some value to this money. There is some value to this money. B'di'evet, he can make it into something like truma, or make it into Meister Sheni. The other hand, in the case, the first case, the price of it, it was clearly ibud. There was no, it was a zero. There was no chance of saving it. It was a clear zero. It's a clear zero. Even b'di'evet, you can't make it into truma or matzer. So Mar says, I'm going to read the Girsa here. This is my focus about the Girsa. We are read the Girsa as we have it in our Gemara. The Girsa in our Gemara says, the whole Ika the Ika Pseida lechatchila lo yomar. Is it really true, even when there's a Pseida, that we say that you can't do it lechatchila? I mean, that's the implications of our Mishnah over here. The Mishnah, our first, I mean, the Brisa over here. The first Brisa says you can't do it at all. Second Brisa says, if there's a loss, then we b'di'evet, if you do it, it's okay. Right? But if you, but you shouldn't do it lechatchila. Is that really true? When there's some sort of loss going to go on, we say don't do it. Ba'atanya, we have a brisa. He has 10 barrels of tevel tamei. These are tevel, the chumas maaser. One of them is about to break, you see? Ocean is galta, or it was exposed and it could have been eaten by a snake, could have put its eretz in it. Omer arihu chumas maaser latesha de chavruta. You make that one barrel into chumas maaser on the rest of them. So that's the allowed. That is allowed to do. Harei Omer, right? He does it. He's allowed to do the chatchila. Ubishem lo yaseh came if nehefset kohen. By shemen he shouldn't do it because of the loss of the kohen. By shemen, sorry, shemen can be used. Shemen tmeah can be used because shemen tmeah, right, is used for burning. And shemen tmeah, shema tmeah, shemen has a use which is it can be burned, so it has value. Therefore lo yaseh came if nehefset kohen, because then you're going to cause the kohen a loss. On the other hand, where yayin, which is worthless, yayin that's tmeah, you can't drink it, you can't eat it, what are you going to do with it? So since it's worthless, you say make it into a chumah, because it's worthless. It can't be totally worthless, because otherwise, couldn't make it into chumah. We're going to say it's worth that you can use the leif ala bayit. You can sprinkle it on the floor to make the house smell nice, whatever. You could use it for certain things that are not drinking, and you could use that, but that's a small hefzed. That's not a real hefzed over here. So this is a small hefzed. We say go ahead and do it lechatchila. So what do you see from this, right? So you say lechatchila, even when there's a hefzed, we say go and do it. If there's a big hefzed, we say don't do it. So Mar says, Amar Mibra, Shakol Beit Abad Karuchala. It's a case where the Akol Beit Abad is around it, and therefore, what? It's not, there is also here, there's a, only a small loss over here. It's not where the yayin is going to be lost entirely, but it's also where the Akol Beit Abad is a basket around it, and it'll be lost slowly. If it'll be lost slowly, then we allow it to you do it. Now, what do you have here? From this conclusion of the Gemara, there are three cases. You have three cases, three levels. You have a chatchila case, which is this last brisa. You have a b'di'evet case, which is the middle brisa, and you have a case where you can't do it at all, that's the first brisa. And then you can have three levels, according to this, of hefzed. If it's most of the gamrei, if it's going to be lost entirely, right, it's going to be totally gone and worthless, we say you can't make it into truma. Number one. Number two is, if there's a small loss, meaning that there's some loss that's going to be there, but there's a chance it will be saved. That's the middle case. The middle case by the ganav. There's a small loss or possibility to save it in its entirety, and you're making meaning that you're causing the coin a lot. You're causing a loss here, or you're losing out because it could have been saved that you did the chak. But for hefzid muat, we're not going to be so makpid. So then we say b'di'evet, you can go ahead and make it into a. Make it into a matzah sheni, we can make it into a matzah sheni. The last case of a breisa is a case where it's a tiny loss. Not if it's just a small loss, not where you can save it ayudei techak. That there's a likelihood of loss, but it's not a big loss. Over there we say b'di'evet, you can do it. Over here we say there's a very small loss. Why is there a very small loss? Because, well, first of all, it's tmeah to start with, right? And it's tmeah to start with, number one. And number two is, right, he has akol beit avad around it. He has the basket around it, so there's, most of it's going to be saved anyway. Since most of it's going to be saved, and there's only a small loss to the Kohen, then we say, go ahead, the Chatzchila, and do it.
It's small loss to the
Kohen, it's Tmeah. It's Yain Tmeah, and Yain Tmeah you can't do anything with. What is he going to do with Yain Tmeah? Yain Tmeah is pretty worthless.
All the barrels of Tmeah?
Yeah. Tevel Tameh.
Yeah, you can throw it in the first place, it's minimal anyway.
So here we have a small loss, because you have an Akal Beit Abad around it, so there's a tiny Pseida here, so that's why he's saving it, so he can make it into making it to a Shuma. On the other hand, it's not a big loss to the Kohen because it's a Shuma Tmeah anyway. So we're going to say go ahead and make it into Shuma. So there's three cases right now. There's another Kirtz according to Tosu says that the Kirtz is not a question of whether it's a Tchila or not. Because he says you can only do a Bidi Yevet. That he eliminates the Girsa and Rashi. It seems that Rashi has a similar Girsa according to the Bach. That the question here is not the whole Echadik of Seda Tchila Lo Yomar. Right, so that any time there's a Seda, you can't do it. Over here we have Seda, and we see you can do it with Chatzkila. That's not the question. The question of the Gemara is it really true by Seda, right, that you can't do it at all? It's back asking a question of the original price. The original price said when you lose, when it's going to Seda, you can't use it. So we brought one price that says, okay, you can do it Bidiyevit. Right, so now the Gemara says, okay, that's fine if you say Bidiyevit. But here, we have another price that says that you can do it with Chatzkila. Now, if you believe that Bidiyevit, when there's being lost the Ibud, you can make it into Truma. I can understand why we allow him to do it with Chatzkila in a case where there's a small loss. But if you say when it's a Lechli Yibud, right, there's a zero, then how can you jump from a zero when it's a Lechli Yibud to the Chatzkila, right, when there's a loss, and some sort of smaller loss? It's too big a jump. And that's the question of the Gemara.
You should be able to say in this case where there's a small loss, it's going to be the other.
Right, right. So he's saying that that's not, it's too big a jump, and that's what the Gemara says over here. No, this case is not a case of Yibud. And therefore the loss is minuscule, meaning that it's not really, there's really no loss here at all, and that's why it's different than the first case that we had above. That means that both cases are, it seems at least that both cases here are different, very different than the first case that we had above, where it's only the Yibud Gamre. Second case is where there's a chance of saving it, so the Yibud we say. The last case is where it's very small, Halei Yibud, because the Akal Beit Abai is around it, plus you have only a small head state to the coin. Right now, Mark says, Vishlamash Nishbara Kazio. Right, that's the case. When it's Nishbara, you could say that it's useful. I mean, that the question over here, that's useful for sprinkling it on your house, sprinkling on the floor of your house. If it's useful to sprinkle on the floor of your house, it has value. If it has value, you can make it into Truma. On the other hand, it's Galka, my cousin. If it's Yayin Galoi, right, what is it useful for? It's worthless. If it's worthless to Yayin, right, then, if it's worthless to Yayin, how can you make it into Truma not there? The Chesei Mechadu Zilub, that you can sprinkle it also, if mine that was exposed to a snake, can't spill them on the Bishut Rabim, because maybe somebody barefoot will get cut and get could come into his blood. You shouldn't mix cement with it. You can't sprinkle it in the house. And shouldn't feed it to your animal. Rashi says to kosher animal, because maybe you'll shecht it and eat it. Tosafot says even to non-kosher animals, because it's Baal Tashchit, because it's going to kill it. Right, so the Gemara says you can't use it. So if it's useless, how could you make it into Trumas Maser? How could you put it into Trumas Maser? It's zero. Right? Right, you can't. Right, yeah, or not even Tamar, but Tamei. The problem here is not even Tamei. Yeah, right. That it's useless because it's Sukkah. Right, Sukkah. It went through a sieve or sifter, and it's like Rabbi Yirmiyah, or Netanya. I'm sorry. The Tanya Mesanenet Yeshva Mishum Gilui. Right, the Tanya Kama believes that a misanenet, a sieve or sieve that has the yayin going through it, has a din of gilui. Amar of Nechemiah in Matai, when that shub is much as a sanamigula, that's going into the bottle, the receptacle that's getting it after it goes through the, right, the sieve is getting it. If it was much as a sanamigula, by the sieve is covering the entire bottom barrel, the wall is pouring toward the top, afal bishal yonamigula, imbo mishum gilui, the fish, erishal nechad tomela spoke, the top will made him come up. It's a like a sponge, and it holds on to itself, so it will be caught in the sieve, the wine will go through, and the eretz is the... Right, it will stay on top, right, exactly. It has a thickness to it that won't allow it to seep through the... So, lavit marla, amar simon, amar b'shumalei, shana shalot tarko. That's only if you didn't mix it up, I mean, if you didn't move it. Meaning that if you take the yayin that has gilui in it, and that was going through the... It was already going through the mesaneh, then fine. About tarko, if you mix up the yayin, that causes the eretz to break down. If it causes the eretz to break down, then it's going to be thin like the yayin. And if you turn the barrel over to pour it into this mesanenet, it's not going to work. So that's yours. Right there, you also do. You'll put something on top of the barrel's head and allow it to pour out slowly. The shafila, and then you let it pour out slowly. So you'll tip the barrel, put it on, and it'll pour out slowly so they won't mix. The eretz won't mix with the yayin.
I'm assuming there was a mesanenet. You had a mesanenet on top.
Right.
The eretz is on top of the reshet.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not saying that.
That's what they're saying. You know, the yayin, there's one yayin pouring from something else through that misanetic into the bottom barrel.
So you took then, the Megula wine.
Right. The Megula wine is the upper wine or the
you
wine where it's
in place. Misanetic.
Right, right. That's what happened. Well, you're trying to do that. He said it doesn't work. If you mix it, if up, it won't work anymore. So how could you move the barrel? If it's flowing and the steak comes in, it's stationary, then it works. If it's not stationary, and you move it, then it gets mixed in and loses its viscosity. If that's the case, it'll flow through the infinite. She said, no, it's a case where he doesn't move it. Puts the cover right on the barrel, and he gets it out without really moving the yain and the eretz. Gets it out of there with it slowly. But turns on the tap, and he puts the mifenet on the tap. Right, Rabbi Nechemia mitar minan. Right, wait, if we can establish Rabbi Nechemia as the author of this piece over here, does Rabbi Nechemia really allow you to take truma here? By the time you tore mina tamei la tamei, you'll have to take from tamei la tamei, which is our case over here. V'chani mina tora la tora, mina tora la tamei. In all these cases, that's an upgrade, or equal or to upgrade, that you'll have to do. Lo mina tamei la tora. Can't be mafkish from tamei to tora, because then you're mafkish the kohen. Kohen, you're taking out the tora stuff, which is yours, you're giving kohen tamei stuff, which is basically useless, or very, has limited use. V'chani omer hafa mina tamei la tamei lo hitziro. Now let's take from tamei la tamei, lichrom elabashel demai. It's only a case of demai. The mighty kibu could roll by my arts for mastery, but we don't allow you to take off tamei mina tamei. So this is, how could Rabbi Nechemia be the author of this bright over here that we're explaining? If you say he's the author, then you can't be mafish, truma, tamei'a, al, truma's master, tamei'a, al, tevel tamei. And so I said, now you shall demai, up except the price is the case where there was demai. Amamar, ubu shemen, lo yisekim, yisnei yisnei kohen. Hey, by the shemen, right, the kohen is going to lose out. Maishna shemen, the roi ladlik. What about shemen? Tamei'a is good because you can light a fire with it. Yain nami roi lezilof. Yain also is good for sprinkling. B'chitei mezilof lav nilfei. If you say that sprinkling is not meaningful, or mishmo mishur mechia. Shoting milog b'tzela. If you want to buy wine to drink, you buy it for a tzela. Mzalfi milog b'shtayim. You should pay up to 2 tzela to use the wine to sprinkle on the house. And then you buy more expensive or better wine for that. Akubayitkinan b'chadash. About new wine. New wine doesn't smell, doesn't have an odor or potency to it, and therefore sprinkling grape juice on your house doesn't exactly have what you want in it. You can keep it and age it. If you age it, then it'll get that smell. We don't allow them to leave stuff around because it'll be ila takala. Shemin miyamid vela de takala. Also, if you leave shemin around and you burn it, it'll cause a takala. It says the malach b'kli maus. And that you leave it in a disgusting kli. It's in a disgusting kli. You're not going to use it for your salad or your salad dressing because it's disgusting already. You're only going to use it to burn it. Yainami might have played kli maus. The wine too, you're going to put in a kli maus. It says, actually, Zuluka by the kli maus, come on up, play. Right, that's exactly what he's going to use it for, right? Wait, he wants to use it for zilof, he wants the smell, he wants the yayin to retain its potency and to make it into good smelling yayin. You put it into a ma'os, a disgusting clay, it's going to end up turning into vinegar. It's not going to end up getting to the place that you want, it's not going to ferment. Right, so what do you mean? He's going to put in a clay ma'os. You can't put in a clay ma'os, therefore there is takala. Can't keep around wine yayin smeya in order to age it because there'll be takala. Can't put in a clean ma'os to say, oh, I won't use it anymore. But when you put a clean ma'os, it ruins the purpose of what you needed to mayah for. Therefore, we say to him, it's not a big hefsek to the coin. Small hefsek to the coin because they can't sprinkle it over here a little bit if he wants to. Now that's shemen. Shemen has a lot of value because he can burn it. Why can he burn it? Because shemen tmeyah is mitami tmeyah. And what about the fact that sakalaka keeps around to burn it? No problem about that because why? He puts it into a clean ma'os. Puts it into a disgusting clean and therefore he won't use it for any other purpose besides right, burning it. Mar says, but takala is much nagi. This idea of takala is a machloket tanaim. The tanya chavicha yain shel truma shenitz meit. The yain shel truma is meit. Bishrami omim tishpoch hakol. You dump the whole thing out because you don't keep it around because of takala. Bitelo omim tatsiz ziluf. All right, that you do a sprinkling with it because that's what you can do with it. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, ani achria. I'll explain it to you. But bayit tatsiz ziluf in the house. If you have it around in the house, do a ziluf with it because you can use it up right away. Ubesadeh tishpoch hakol. In the field, you go like Beit Shemai. You dump the whole thing. Ika damre v'yashan that says ziluf. Another way to explain it is if it's aged wine, you do ziluf with it. Kadash, you spoke a call. If it's grape juice, you dump it out. Amrulo in our fresh kishit makaret. Over here, we're not going to rely on you. You're not really a determining factor over here because your position is not really a portion of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel's position. You are introducing a totally new position, and therefore you're not a das shlishit. I'll come back tomorrow. I'll finish up. I'll explain this data in a shlichit makrat. It's a big tosas. And I shall be able to finish that up tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay.